So today's passage is out of the book of James. We've been in the book of James for a while. It's kind of a contentious one. It's a bit controversial, if you will. Not because of what it says. I think we can all get on board with what it says. Rather, it is because people have taken what James says here to be in opposition of what Paul has said in his letters. So let me read this passage for you, and we can start to see what is going on. James 2, 14 to 26. It'll be on the screen. There's a pew Bible underneath your seat there if you want to grab that, or you can follow along on your phone or your own Bible. It says, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but you don't show it by actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or any clothing. What good does that do?" So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and it is useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Well, good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it just happened, just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab, the prostitute, is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. So what is Paul and James, what is their disagreement here? Well, actually, Paul says many times that faith is what saves, not works, not good deeds. Let's look. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so none can boast about it. Or look at Galatians 2, 5, 15 through 16. You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners, like the Gentiles. Yet, we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Faith alone. So do they disagree? Well, let me say this. I believe several things about the Bible, about the Word, right? It is the Word of God. Absolutely the Word of God. I believe the Bible is God's words for us. Although written by men, it is inspired by God, by His Spirit, and everything in it is true, and everything in it is useful. The Word of God, everything is true. So I do not believe that these two authors would disagree with each other, because I believe that. So Paul would say, hey, I was making a point about how the Old Testament law is unattainable. How for thousands of years it left God's people wanting. That the law did not encourage a relationship with the Creator, but rather the law hindered it. And, I think James would say, of course it is not the law that saves us, but rather belief in Jesus. My point was, I think this is what James would say, my point was, just like the mirror illustration I had just used in the letter that we talked about earlier, that belief isn't really belief if you just go back to doing everything that you were doing before and nothing changes. You being introduced to Jesus should change your life. Things should change for you. If you forget what you saw in the mirror a minute later, it meant nothing. And then I think you would say, hey, look, even the demons believe. Satan believes. They know the power of God. He is the one that hurled them down to earth, right? I mean, he was the one that did that. They know him. And they shudder at his name, at his power. However, that power, it doesn't affect them. It doesn't change anything they are doing. So yeah, they believe, but it has changed nothing for them. They are still working feverishly to bring everyone they can to the same punishment that they will suffer. Eternity away from God, away from Jesus. I think that's what James is trying to say. So the question is, how can we tell if we're right with God? How can we tell if we're right with God? Well, let me tell you a story. Heather and I were living in New York. We had Evelyn. I never ask my wife before I tell stories about her. Yeah. Anyway. We were living in New York. She was working. She worked nights. She was a pediatric nurse. Actually, she ran a pediatric after-hours clinic. And she worked late at night. She would get home at 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning. And I was working as a part-time chaplain. And I was also had recently started a job at Home Depot because the part-time chaplain thing wasn't quite, you know, enough. So it was Mother's Day, right? And so I thought I was good, right? I had gotten a card from myself, and I had gotten Evelyn, because she was a little bitty. I got her to scribble on another card, and that was addressed to her. And then I had gotten her some Target gift cards, which I know you're not supposed to give gift cards as gifts, but my wife really, 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 really loves Target. And her favorite thing, like if she could just do anything with her free time, it would just be to go wander around Target and just prove. I mean, she doesn't like shopping, but man, shopping's not Target, right? And so I had some gift cards for her and some cards, and I made her some breakfast, you know, like a brunch type thing, and she woke up. She had gotten home about 2 or 2:30 the night before, the morning of, I guess. So she slept, and then I woke her up, and we ate some brunch with Evelyn, and we gave her the cards, and we gave her the gift cards, and then I was like, all right, I got to go. I'm going to work. See you later. So I spent about 10 minutes with her. And I could tell she was upset. And you women probably understand this. I didn't. I think I'm better at understanding this now, but I'm not the brightest bulb sometimes. And so I go to work and I come home, you know, I think at like 7 or 8 that night, and Evelyn's in bed, and she's just, I could tell she was not happy with me. I'm like, what in the world? And she's like, you don't get it. Like, yeah, you did this for me, and you did this for me, and you made me breakfast. Oh, man, that was so nice. But I didn't want any of that. I just wanted for you to spend time with me on Mother's Day. And I was like, oh, man, yeah, that probably would have been better. You see, the deal is this. We can do all the good things in the world, but if we don't spend time with our Savior, it was all for nothing. True love leads to action. Jesus is always our example, isn't he? 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Listen, my wife wanted more than a card, more than flowers, more than Target gift cards. She wanted to spend the day with me and with my daughter, being together with those that she loves. Jesus, he loved us so much that although he had never sinned, he took the shame of the cross, an unjust and unfair death, so that he could be with us. What James is saying here is this: if you truly love God and love others like you profess that you do, you will love God by doing what he says, and that's to love other people. We need to follow the example of Jesus, whose true love always led to action, every time. Which is the point of James 2. So three things under true love leads to action. Number one, faith at work meets the physical needs of others. You want some examples? John 5, remember this? The pool of Bethsaida, right? Jesus goes up to a guy, and this guy has been laying there. They said he had been an invalid for 38 years, and Jesus knew that. He knew his heart, and he knew that he had been at this pool of Bethsaida for a long, long time. You guys know about the pool of Bethsaida? It's this: when it was a mystical, magical place, and it said that sometimes the Spirit of God would come in the water, and the water would start churning. This is in the Bible. You can read it. You can fact check me, right? The Spirit of God would start moving the water. And when that water started moving, whoever got in the water first was healed. So you would have people laying around this pool waiting to get in. You know, waiting for that water to get stirred up. This man had been laying there for years and years and years because he was an invalid. He couldn't move. He always got beat to the water. When Jesus comes up to him and says, hey, what's going on? Well, Jesus, I'm waiting on this pool, waiting for the waters to stir. And when that happens, I'm going to try to get myself in there so I can be healed first, right? And Jesus is like, oh, been waiting long? Oh, he knew he had been. He's like, yeah, I can never get there, right? And Jesus says, do you want to be healed? And the man's like, yeah, of course I do. And what did Jesus do? He said, be healed. And the man picked up his mat and walked. Now, I want you to hear something, all right? This man had a physical need. He needed to be healed. Jesus met that need. You guys remember what the next line to that man was from Jesus? Go and sin no more. You guys see what Jesus does? He meets people's physical needs before addressing their spiritual needs. We, as Christians, we as followers of the way, as followers of Jesus, our job is to first, we meet physical needs of people. If somebody's hungry, you can preach at them till you're blue in the face. You can have the most compelling reason to follow Jesus, but if they're hungry, they're never going to hear it. Ever. They need to be fed. Then they can hear. If somebody needs clothes, if somebody needs shelter, if somebody, all these things have to be met before they can hear the spiritual truth about Jesus who loves them. And the fact is, I met your needs because of the fact that Jesus loves you. Then they can hear. They can hear. How about John 6, right? We see one of the most popular passages in the Bible. One of the few stories that's in all four accounts of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's this, we see a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children gathering to hear Jesus preach and see Jesus heal. And as the crowd grew hungry, a little boy stepped forward to offer his lunch. Jesus then multiplied the lunch to feed everyone until they were full in what was the world's most unique all-you-can-eat buffet. It is far better to view people as both physical and spiritual, with both aspects being intimately connected and intertwined. There is no such thing as helping a person physically and not spiritually. Helping a person physically also helps them spiritually, and vice versa. Spiritual help pours over into all areas of life, emotional, mental, physical. Churches must come to recognize that everything is spiritual and everything is physical. The dividing line between the two, where one is seen to be superior to the other, or one is seen as the doorway to the other, is an artificial, unbiblical, and dangerous idea. The physical and spiritual were created together by God, and they must remain together. Jesus met people where they were. He took care of all aspects of them, physical, emotional, spiritual. He, of course, is the God of completeness. He desires that His creation, that those He came into contact with, that those He touched were to be made whole. The word, the Hebrew word, shalom, the word that we translate to peace, that word, it is a word picture of something that is whole, something that is complete. We as Jesus' followers, as the church, need to work hard as Jesus did to bring wholeness to those that we minister to, that those we come into contact with. Number two, faith at work is more than belief. Look at verse 19. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. The Greek word there is phriso. And it means to bristle like a scaredy cat, you know? Like the demons, that's what they're doing when they hear the name of God, when they hear about Jesus. They bristle in terror. They bristle in fear. So the examples that we have, the ones that James gives us, there's two of them. You guys remember the story of Abraham? All right? Abraham, God promised Abraham a son. He said that this son is going to be the son that my entire people are going to come through. This son. And so Abraham waited, and he waited, and he waited. And finally, it happened when he was, what, 90? So he has this boy. And God says, when the boy's about 12, hey, I want you to go up to this mountain. I want you to sacrifice your son. And Abraham's like, what? Do what I say. Go up to the mountain, sacrifice your boy. Abraham's like, all right, I don't understand this, but sounds good, I guess. So he goes up this mountain, and the boy comes along with them, and he's like, hey, where's the sacrifice we're making? He's like, God's going to provide it. So they go up, and they make an altar of wood, and they get that ready, and they're like, hey, there's still no sacrifice. And Abraham's like, God's going to provide it. And then Abraham ties his boy up and puts him on the altar, and he raises his knife up. And it's like, God's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Go look over there. There's a ram, you know, caught in the brush there. Just sacrifice that. Don't kill your boy. God was always going to provide a way. But he needed to know that if this was going to be the case, that if God was going to have his entire nation come through Abraham, Abraham had to have faith. And he had to love God more than he loved his boy. And Abraham knew. I don't know what he thought. I don't know if he thought, you know what, God's going to stop me at the last minute. You know, because I'd be like, okay, here it is. I'm about to, I dropped it. Hold on. Okay, all right. I don't think I would have gotten there. I'll be honest. As hard as we struggled with Elijah, I don't think I would have gotten there. I don't think I would have gone that far. But Abraham did, and you guys know the deal. Abraham was credited that with righteousness. God was never going to let... And I think Abraham thought, well, you know what? He'll bring him back to life. Or magically, this isn't going to hurt him. Or the knife is going to turn into rubber, and it's going to be a joke. Or he knew that somehow God was going to keep his promises. And Rahab, that's the other example James gives. She didn't even know God yet. But she hid the spies that were going to overrun the city and destroy the city, and that she had no promise that was going to save her at all. But she knew that this God was real, he was alive, he was the one creator, and that she, even if it meant turning her back on all her friends, she had to do what was right. And so she then becomes the great, great, great grandma of King David, who is the great, 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 great grandfather of Jesus, right? Sometimes I worry about how easy we tend to make Christianity. Is it a simple idea? Absolutely, it's simple. Yes, Jesus died in our place, taking the punishment you should receive because we couldn't do it on our own. Everyone likes that idea. But how about this part? Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. The cross that he was talking about here, it is not a necklace, it's not a tattoo, or something that you place on the wall above your sofa. The cross that he was referring to was an instrument of death, the modern-day electric chair or the modern-day lethal injection. Pick that up, Jesus said. Be willing to lose your life and follow me. So many people in this world have recited a prayer at a Christian concert or along with a TV preacher. They've closed their eyes and they've raised their hands and at a revival and they've said that they believed. True faith at work, though, is belief plus action. They go together. It is hard, it is tough, it is work, and it is sacrifice. Is it worth it? Oh my, yes. Easy to do? Not so much. Every day, you take a step, you take a step forward, you trudge along. There's days where you run, and there's days where you're kind of dragged. Jesus kind of drags you along. But is it worth it? Absolutely. Number three, this will be quick. Faith at work is your proof of life. You ever seen a movie where they're holding somebody hostage? Right? Usually the negotiator will want a proof of life, right? You know, a picture of the hostage with today's newspaper. You know, there's a, I don't know if I had that picture there or not, there's a movie called, this is Jackie Chan. So Jackie Chan, there was a big hoax going around. Jackie Chan is one of the biggest action stars in the world in Hong Kong, and I'm a giddy for his movies. I love them. But he is one of the biggest international stars in the world. Well, there's this huge hoax that he was dead. That he died, and everybody believed it, and people were in mourning, and then all of a sudden, Jackie Chan comes out, and he's like, hey, look, that's today's date. I'm alive. It's not true. Proof of life. You know, any good movie like that, you know, the negotiator will say, hey, I need to see some proof of life. You know, I need to see a picture. I need to see something that proves the date. And so they'll always send something like that, you know, a picture of the hostage pointing to the date or something like that. Genesis 15:6, and Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Abraham believed in God and in Yahweh, and he was willing to show his faith in the Lord, not even by sparing his son. Like I said, Abraham's belief in God was such that he believed that even if he sacrificed his son, God would somehow make it right. He would stop him. He would resurrect him. He would allow a knife to go into him and not be harmed. Somehow, God was going to make things right. And then God commended Abraham for his faith. Rahab, she was willing to turn her back on her people because she believed in the one true God. She believed that he was real and no matter what, she would serve him. And that was before that she knew that she would be saved. She needed to do the right thing and her belief grew legs, which I think is a great definition of faith. Belief growing legs. Both of them gave proof of life. For both of them, their picture with a newspaper was doing what they knew to be right by serving God, no matter what the cost. James 2:18, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. James 2:24. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. So my question is this morning, how is your faith? How is it? How's your proof of life coming? I'm so glad that God is not asking any of us to sacrifice our kid or to hide enemy combatants in our homes. God does ask and expect much from us, however, that say we believe. He expects our belief to grow some legs, to go from the belief camp over here to the faith camp, the action camp over here. to pick up our cross every day and follow him. If we do this, we get to stand in the great hall of faith with Rahab and with Abraham, with Noah, with Mary, with Joseph. Even more importantly, our names get added to the Lamb's Book of Life, and our security is secured. Our eternity is secured forever. That's the promise. So my question for you this morning, do you know Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus, but it really hasn't made any difference in your life at all? Because if that's the case, James is telling you that's not good enough. Let your belief grow legs and run.